Wall Street and biotechnology companies have been very excited about this idea. And what essentially it is trying to pack the cells in the body in order to make them into drug factories.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Tuesday, November 2nd, 2021. Thank you for joining me today on this impromptu, very quick T-Lab live stream today. Unfortunately, YouTube is doing some manipulation. So for those that are in the chat right now on YouTube, I apologize. It's playing on the same channel, but they just kicked it over to a new video. So typical YouTube manipulation, but who cares about YouTube? So let's get into what we're going to talk about today. I've got about 30, 35 minutes, and I want to dive into something that I think is very, very, very important. I am almost certainly going to be doing another show today with all the other stuff that I keep wanting to get to. But we're going to talk about one thing today that I thought was really, really important. And so we're going to jump right into that today. Something that was shared with me by Orwell, in fact, from the chat. That came out today. And I just want to go through this with you together to walk through what it's saying so we get this out there so people can hear it and we can continue to discuss this. Really just how manipulative and how dishonest this entire process has been. So let's jump right into this and apologize for those on the YouTube channel. As always, if you're watching on YouTube, why? Why are you still there other than the mods that are helping me out and keeping things organized? But this is an important topic here, guys, and this is about the British Medical Journal, specifically publishing an investigative journalism post, an article, investigative journalism, that is covering the Pfizer trial. And within that trial, what we're seeing is whistleblowers, more than one, in fact, coming out and telling a lot of people involved with this process that they didn't do what they were supposed to, that they lied, manipulated, hid adverse events. Now, this is something that they've been guilty of in the past. Pfizer specifically, right? We've talked about this many, many times. But what's interesting is that nobody wants to play that game today in places where they believe that Pfizer's doing the right thing, that they're all of a sudden become some altruistic entity that's only fighting for you and your freedom. Except that the reality is, as we've shown you many times, and we're not going to go through extensively today, is that they have been caught for lying and cheating and stealing, hiding adverse events, over $4 billion, in fact, over 71 crimes. I'll include this for you to look at it for yourself. The author of this article, Paul D. Thacker, an American journalist who specializes in science, medicine, and environmental reporting. He's written for prestigious outlets like Science, JAMA, JAMA and Science, and other scientific-focused outlets. That's what the British Medical Journal is, for those that don't know. One of the most highly regarded scientific publications out there. So here's what it says. COVID-19 researcher blows the whistle on data integrity issues in Pfizer's vaccine trial. Revelations of poor practices at a contract research company helping to carry out Pfizer's pivotal COVID-19 vaccine trial raise questions about data integrity and regulatory oversight, Paul D. Thacker reports. In autumn 2020, Pfizer's chairman and chief executive, Albert Bourla, released an open letter. This is the person you've seen. We've talked about him many times. And he's the person that is got a lot of other reasons to be concerned about his record, his track record. But we're going to leave that alone for a moment, talk maybe later today. Just the fact that he put this out there, basically telling people, leaning aggressively into the vaccine being the only thing that we should be looking towards. He says, quote, as I've said before, and also expressing his limitations, we are operating at the speed of science, he wrote, explaining to the public that when they could expect this injection to be authorized. However, for researchers who were testing Pfizer's vaccine at several sites in Texas during that autumn, speed may have come at the cost of data integrity and patient safety. You know, the entire purpose of why they rushed everything for your safety, which, by the way, doesn't make any sense at all. A regional director who was employed at the research organization Ventavia, which you might have remembered, we've talked about them before. It's called Ventavia Research Group. This is a regional director who spoke with the British Medical Journal, or rather told the British Medical Journal, the Thacker, writing for the British Medical Journal, being published on the British Medical Journal, that the company falsified data. And the reason I said it like that is because you can see that the group told the British Medical Journal, therefore making it clear that this is being written through the British Medical Journal, that the company falsified data. Pfizer falsified data. Unblinded patients, meaning this is, remember the whole, this is one of the things they did way after the fact as well, giving everybody the injection even though they weren't supposed to, therefore we're demolishing any long-term data, but did this during the trial anyway, employed inadequately trained vaccinators, and was slow to follow up on adverse events reported in Pfizer's pivotal phase 3 trial. Right, the focal point, right, the things that were going wrong. Well, guess what? They've been hiding these things, as we've shown you many times before, in a lot of other circumstances. Safety-related offenses, over $100 million. Healthcare-related offenses, over $3 billion they've paid out. Those are crimes they've committed. Staff who conducted quality control checks were overwhelmed, they said, by the volume of problems they were finding. Isn't that a bit different than what we heard from the media, by the way they were framing? Oh, that's right, because the media was only blindly reporting what Pfizer told them happened. Well, here's the truth. Multiple levels, multiple whistleblowers, people from lots of different angles, as you see as we get to the end, are telling you that this is what happened. Overwhelmed by problems that they kept from your view. After repeatedly notifying Ventavia, the company that was supposed to be conducting safety trials, of the problems happening within their safety trials, the regional director, Brooke Jackson, who they're speaking with, emailed a complaint to the FDA, already showing the company wasn't doing anything about it. Then the company fired her that same day. So she sees problems. She reports those problems. They do nothing. She tells the FDA, the company fires her the same day. You know what that tells you? That the FDA told on her. The FDA said, you have a tattletale. And they fired her. Jackson has provided the British Medical Journal with dozens of internal company documents, photos, audio recordings, and emails. Please feel free to dive through it all and make sure you see that she's telling you the truth. Under poor laboratory management, Jackson, the former regional director, told the British Medical Journal that during the two weeks she was employed at Ventavia in September 2020, she repeatedly informed her superiors of poor laboratory management, patient safety concerns, and data integrity issues. The whole point is about the data and letting people know that, well, it is safe because the safety trials showed the data was safe, or the data showed that it was safe. When you have data integrity issues, that should call into question everything, which is why this is important. Jackson was a trained clinical trial auditor who previously held a director of operations position and came to Ventavia with more than 15 years experience in clinical research coordination and management. Exasperated that Ventavia was simply not dealing with the problems in a safety trial, Jackson documented several matters late one night. Right, this is what happens when nobody's doing things in a trial that's supposed to be dealing with an experimental substance and whether or not it's safe. And then you go, we have problems, and no one does anything about it. So she took, this is what I would, in my gut tells me, based on what we're seeing and the data she backs it up with, this is what a good person would do. Taking it upon themselves, risking their livelihood to prove that there's a problem, because she probably cares, my opinion, about whether things are actually safe, seeing as how that's what the whole point is. Documented several matters, taking photos on her mobile phone. One photo provided to the British Medical Journal showed needles discarded in a plastic biohazard bag instead of a Sharps container box, which is a problem. Another showed vaccine packaging materials with trial participants' identification numbers written on them left out in the open, potentially unblinding participants. That's supposed to be a very, we'll get into the unblinding more as it goes through this, but this is a big deal. Right. There's blinding going on even amongst the staff. This shows you that they're being just, as I say, loosey goosey with everything. Why? How does that even possibly make sense? Ventavia executives later questioned Jackson for taking the photos. Now, you could argue that that would make sense in any context. You know, why are you taking photos of the left? Well, if you're then trying to expose something that was a crime, well, then you're a whistleblower, which is what this ultimately boils down to. Early and inadvertent unblinding may have occurred on a far wider scale, according to the trial's design. Unblinded staff were responsible for preparing and administering the study drug, Pfizer's vaccine or the placebo, which, by the way, we now know is actually typically a vaccine as a placebo, which is crazy. And nobody acknowledges why that even makes sense. Or as I understand, even the adjuvants and different things that can also cause problems. It should be saline versus placebo injection, so you can actually look at the side effects. And then you don't give them the injection afterward and pretend like it's the best thing to do, because then you destroy all the side effects. We mentioned that a moment ago. According to the trial's design, unblinded staff were responsible for preparing the administration of the drug. This was to be done to preserve the blinding of the trial participants and all other site staff, including the principal investigator. However, at Ventavia, Jackson told the British Medical Journal that drug assignment confirmation printouts were being left in their charts, accessible to blinded personnel. So you could just walk by and look. As a corrective action taken in September, 2 months into the trial recruitment, so 2 months into it, with around 1,000 participants already enrolled, when you could just walk by and look at their information, quality assurance checklists were then updated with instructions for them to take those things out. Shouldn't that be where you go, oops, we made a mistake, right? But in the middle of a pandemic and everyone's in danger, so they tell us, none of this stuff seems to matter. This is the absurdity of saying we're going to rush through something for your safety. It does not add up. You can't rush a safety trial. That's the whole point. But when you're doing things like this and you're seeing problems and it's sloppy and they're not doing what they're supposed to, there's more going on here, guys. In a recording of a meeting in late September 2020 between Jackson, the regional director, and two directors, a Ventavia executive can be heard explaining that the company wasn't able to quantify the types of and number of errors they were finding when examining the trial paperwork for quality control. That sounds like the Pentagon investigating themselves and going, you know what, we can't figure it out, and then just leaving it there. Yay, we're good because we looked at it. In my mind, it says, quote, it's something new every day. That's a different Ventavia executive saying, quote, we know that it's significant. So we know it's significant. It's a different problem every day, but yet we can't figure it out. Now, does that sound like something that does that sound like an end result? Well, that's where it seemingly got left. And at the end of the day, it shows you that they're okay with not knowing. You're in the process of trying to figure out whether this is safe. You can't quantify the problems within the data. Doesn't that mean you can't actually verify whether it's valid? That's another way you could say that. Ventavia was not keeping up with data entry queries, shows an email sent by ICON, the contract research organization with which Pfizer partnered on the trial. So this is one of Pfizer's partners who is saying they're not even keeping up with the queries, the data entry queries. So Ventavia is not even documenting what they're finding. This does not seem like just malfeasance or incompetence. This seems like a cover-up to me. Now, maybe that's a little brash for some people, but with everything else we've been seeing, guys, this is crazy. This is like unblinding the results so we don't know the long-term effects. And you have a sloppy trial like this, you can say whatever you want. And I think that's what we're seeing. Now it says, ICON reminded Ventavia in September 2020 email, quote, the expectation for the study is that all queries are addressed within 24 hours. Sort of sounds like how they pretend to deal with the adverse events that they're not actually looking at and dismissing. It says ICON then highlighted, after they said that, over 100 outstanding queries older than 3 days in yellow. So they're not even meeting the basic requirements of what they're supposed to be doing. And how much you want to bet adverse events fell through the cracks. Examples included two individuals for which, quote, subject has reported with severe symptoms, reactions. Per protocol, subjects experiencing grade 3 local reactions should be contacted. Please confirm if an unplanned contact, that's crazy, was made, and update the corresponding form as appropriate. According to the trial protocol, a telephone contact should have occurred, quote, to ascertain further details and determine whether a site visit is clinically indicated. According to the trial protocol, a contact should have occurred. Make sure you understand how that's being framed. They didn't do this stuff. 3 days after, in a 24-hour maximum, they're not even following up on these people. Reported with severe symptoms, and per their protocol, they're not even doing the basic requirements. Please confirm if an unplanned contact. This is in a safety trial that's supposed to be blinded, and you're talking about unplanned contact. Sure, that's probably something they consider. But how about we ask whether that's a bigger problem they're letting on, or how about we think about what that could even mean, unplanned contact? I still consider things like the shedding of the spike protein, which we know is part of this conversation that they just don't talk about, that the experts who discovered this have openly discussed how this can shed. So is that what we're talking about? Remember the documentation of Pfizer in regard to the pregnant woman and exposure? Certainly interesting, but these things are just completely kept off of the discussion. But either way, realize that it's so completely sloppy and broken that they don't even really know whether that's what went down or not. Documents showed that problems had been going on for weeks. So this is the kind of stuff that you have to stand back from, whether or not you think that we're all conspiracy theorists and this is all crazy, that there's paper trails here. Their documents show you that they had problems for weeks. People are being injected with experimental substances, and they're supposed to be ascertaining whether this is safe for your benefit. And they have problems ongoing through this entire process, things that they're not even following up with. They're not following up with the adverse events. They're not documenting the data properly. Does this sound like just a mistake? Doesn't to me. It says, in a list of action items circulated among Ventavia's leaders in early August 2020, shortly after the trial began and before Jackson's hiring, a Ventavia executive identified three site staff members with whom to, quote, go over e-diary issue / falsifying data, etc. That's still quite a catch-all, isn't it? One of them was, quote, verbally counseled for changing data and not noting late entry. What a caveat to lay over all of this. Is the phase three massive, you know, this is the big trial, right? This is all the information that they're using to drive all this forward. And then we'll get to the part about how they use this data to justify the authorization, the emergency authorization, you know, for your safety. Go over falsifying data to the one of which you had to verbally counsel about falsifying data. Okay, this is a sloppy, messy dumpster fire of a problem they're never going to talk about. This should be, every part of this should be stopped. If we're still talking about 53 unconfirmed reports of death on the VAERS system for the 2009 swine flu program that was halted based on that, 53 unconfirmed reports on VAERS, and now we're over almost 18,000 deaths report unconfirmed on VAERS, same situation, and we have all the other factors on top of that, and this is still being rushed forward. It's impossible not to see what's happening here. Not that we understand it fully, all the motivations and working parts, but if you can't see that there's something wrong happening in all of this, you're just choosing to walk along with this, and that's a personal choice. Now, it goes on to say, at several points during the late September meeting, Jackson and the Ventavia executives discussed the possibility of the FDA showing up for an inspection. And I said, quote, we're going to get some kind of letter of information, at least when the FDA gets here. Know it. Now, a quick little brief dance into the background here before we get back to the next morning, just to see the continuity. This picks up right here where they're saying, we're going to get a visit. And then it's the next morning down here, September 25th. Before we get to that, I love these articles when they do this on the British Medical Journal, a little history of the lax oversight of the FDA in general. So quick pivot over to how the FDA itself, even had it been there to do the right thing, is probably not caring to do the right thing. It says, when it comes to the FDA and clinical trials, Elizabeth Wokner, that's fitting, president of Citizens for Responsible Care and Research Incorporated, or CIRCARE, says the agency's oversight capacity is severely under-resourced. Shocking, right? I mean, this fits with everything else we're seeing in every other area of these completely captured agencies. If the FDA receives a complaint about a clinical trial, she says the agency rarely has the staff available to show up and inspect. And sometimes oversight occurs too late. Well, good. I'm glad we rely on them to tell us we're safe way after the fact, if that's even what's happening. These are captured agencies. If you think that something like that, just that first paragraph in any way sums up a group there that's all just completely making sure you're safe and fighting for the integrity of whatever you want to frame it as, then you're just lying to yourself. They are calling each other out before we got to this situation. It goes on to say, CertCare and the U.S. Customer Advocacy Organization Public Citizen, along with the dozens of public health experts, filed a detailed complaint in July 2018 with the FDA about the clinical trial that failed to comply with regulations for the protection of human participants. That sounds fitting to where we are today. 9 months later, in April 2019, the FDA investigator inspected the clinical site. 9 months later. So they go, there's a problem here and people are dying. And 9 months later, they go and look at it. And then they didn't handle it. Let's leave it there. There's a story in there that you should dig into. There's links in all of this stuff. But the bottom line that I want you to think about is how that can even possibly, understand these trials are then continuing forward. Things are then happening because of the data they produce. And 9 months later, you swing in and go, oh, how do you even know that the clinical site is the same as it was before 9 months ago? So this is sort of like the OPCW going in after the U.S. government bombs an entire location to investigate whether the U.S. government was involved. That makes sense. It says, quote, there's just a complete lack of oversight of contract research organizations and independent clinical research facilities, says Jill Fisher, professor of social medicine at the University of North Carolina School of Medicine. That's fitting. Somebody else from North Carolina University saying, yeah, they don't really look into things. That's exactly right. So other people at that location may think that they don't want you to know that. Now, Ventavia and the FDA, a former Ventavia employee told the British Medical Journal that the company was nervous and expecting a federal audit of its PIV vaccine clinical trial, or the Pfizer vaccine trial. Quote, people working in clinical research are terrified of FDA audits, Jill Fisher told the British Medical Journal, but added that the agency rarely does anything other than expect paperwork. Because that makes sense, right? Because you can't lie on paperwork, can you? Usually months after the trial has ended, because that is about how you keep people safe, right? We're going to inspect a trial that's ended to make sure that the trial for the drug is being done properly now that it's already being used. Quote, I don't know why they're so afraid of them, she said. But she said that she was surprised the agency failed to inspect Ventavia after an employee had filed a complaint. Yeah, you would think so. You'd think they would do their job, or what they tell us it is. You would think if there's a specific and credible complaint that they would have investigated that. You would think so, wouldn't you? It says a report found that the FDA inspected only 1%. This is a 2007 Department of Health and Human Services Inspector General report. Sort of how when they worked with Harvard and inspected their system and said, yeah, they only report less than 1% of the total. And they all shoved that away and never talked about it again. Same thing. Their report back then found 1% of clinical sites they actually investigated. 1%. Inspections carried out by the FDA's vaccines and biologics branch have been decreasing in recent years. So it went from 1% to less than 1%. Get this, with only 50 places in all of the trials, which I can't even imagine how many there probably are, only 50 sites conducted in 2020 fiscal year. 2020. They don't actually do this. This is the illusion of accountability. Now, going back to the story, on the next morning, 25th of September, 2020, Jackson, the regional director who's spilling the beans about all of this, called the FDA to warn about the unsound practices in Pfizer's clinical trial at Ventavia. She then reported her concerns in an email to the agency. In the afternoon, Ventavia fired Jackson, deemed, quote, not a good fit, according to her separation letter. Sort of like when you file on a religious exemption today and they go, oh, well, you did this online like a year ago, so you're fired because of that thing over there. Nothing to do with this thing we were supposed to maybe approve tomorrow, right? This is them sidestepping. They're firing you for pointing out that they're criminals. That's what's happening. Jackson told the British Medical Journal that it was the first time she'd been fired in her 20-year career in research. Now let's look at the concerns she raised. She listed just a dozen of concerns that she had witnessed, including, there's more of them, participants placed in a hallway after injections in a safety trial, but aren't even being monitored by the staff. Yeah, so how do you know for sure that they're not dealing with something? Where you're not even monitoring their after effects, and we're supposed to know that this is a safety trial monitoring the after. Does that sound like this sounds like a way to not know whether things are happening, which is exactly what they told you is happening. A lack of timely follow-up of patients who experienced adverse events. These are two things that are leading to the lack of follow-up. If you're like, exactly, so you're waiting 3 days, possibly never, for people that are telling you they're struggling with something? How about you probably, I mean, there's people, we've talked about in a separate incidents here where people who had adverse events were kicked out of the trial before they could get their second shot. For different reasons, they claim had nothing to do with the adverse events. They are hiding things just like they always have, because that's what they do. Not just Pfizer, by the way, but let's focus on that today. Protocol deviations not being reported. Oh, good. The protocols that are meant to keep you safe and make sure they're doing the right thing. They don't keep to them, and then nobody holds them accountable, because that is accountability in this country. Vaccines not being stored at proper temperatures. A thousand things you can say about that. Does that even matter? I mean, it's like they don't care about keeping you safe. Why would they even care? Like, and remember, they change these things. They go, oh, well, let's just extend the expiration date by a week or move the temperature because we want to use mix and match now. It's all arbitrary. I mean, it shouldn't be, but they're showing you that. Mislabeled laboratory specimens, targeting of Ventavia staff for reporting these types of problems. Within hours, Jackson received an email from the FDA thanking her for her concerns and notifying her that the FDA could not comment on any investigation that might result. That's weird. Missed a word there. So then we're not going to comment. In Pfizer's briefing document submitted to the FDA Advisory Committee meeting held on December 10th, 2020, to discuss the application for the emergency use authorization for this injection, the company made no mention whatsoever of the literal verifiable problems at the Ventavia site. One of these primary locations, right? They didn't mention any of this stuff. That is 100% supposed to be discussed. The next day, the FDA issued the authorization of the injections. Now, you see where these pieces are fitting together? This is coordination, in my opinion. My opinion. I don't know how you can have people involved at every step of the way who clearly see this at some level and not even mention these problems, not even mention the complete breakdown of the supposed safety trial, which, in my opinion, is to hide what was really happening. Then you don't even mention that information. Now, where's the FDA? Aren't they supposed to be confirming these, or are they just blindly taking what Pfizer tells them? Well, you can see what happened. Pfizer said this and that, and they go, oh, okay, well, that's the full picture then, because Pfizer told us that. No, you're supposed to be the Federal Drug Administration agent, where you investigate these things and you look and make sure that Pfizer's not lying to you like they have a million times. Excuse me, 71 times since the year 2000 that we can prove. Now, it goes on to say, in August of this year, after the full approval of Pfizer's vaccine, which is really just the approval of 15 and up, which I don't know why we can't get past the full and ridiculous, the FDA published a summary of its inspections of the company's pivotal trial. Nine of the trial's 153 sites were inspected. Nine. Right, so this is them coming out and going, here's what we actually did. Nine of their 153 sites were actually inspected. Ventavia sites were not listed among the nine. And no inspections of the sites where adults were recruited took place in the 8 months after December 2020 emergency authorization. So they never even looked at these sites. They only looked at nine of the entire 153. And on top of that, remember what the FDA actually does, which they let out of the bag right here, which is nothing. Read some paperwork and move along. Then they never, ever actually inspected the sites where people got these shots since then. The FDA's inspection officer noted, quote, the data integrity and verification portion of the BMO, the biosecurity monitoring inspections, were limited. Why? Well, because the study was ongoing and the data required for verification and comparison were not yet available to the investigational new drug. Gee, where have you heard that before? You mean the entire community of the so-called conspiracy theorists telling you, well, they're authorizing this drug despite not having the data to verify that it does what they say? Yeah, exactly. And we're still there, by the way. And we're finding that out as we go forward, as we're jamming new boosters in people's arms. The investigational, although synonymous with experimental, that's what the words mean, according to the FDA, were not available. But yet we somehow managed to authorize it for emergency use regardless of that. Shouldn't be surprising, guys. We've been yelling this at people. We've been saying this from the very beginning. In recent months, Jackson has reconnected with several former Ventavia employees who all left or were fired from the company, right? So they certainly, more people have left or been fired since this catastrophe. They know, they see what's happening, and here's why. One of them was one of the officials who had taken part in the late September meeting. In a text message sent in June, the former official apologized, saying, quote, everything you complained about was spot on. And this still won't get talked about by the media. All this is verifiable, guys. All this is down here for you to look at for yourself. All of it. British Medical Journal, right? Let's call them a conspiracy theory rag. I'm sure they're trying. But it goes on to say, lost my place here. Two former Ventavia employees spoke with the British Medical Journal anonymously for fear of reprisal. That's where we are today. Cancel culture, and loss of job prospects in the tightly knit research community. Who cares if they're true, honest, or giving you facts to back it up? If they say something negative injection in your eyes, well, they're fake news, anti-science conspiracy theorists, and they must be stopped. Right, that's called being in a cult. It says both confirm broad aspects of Jackson's complaint. So it's been backed up by three other whistleblowers now. One said that she had worked on over four dozen clinical trials in her career, including many large trials, but had never experienced such a helter-skelter work environment as with Ventavia on Pfizer's trial. Quote, I've never had to do what they were asking me to do, ever, she told the British Medical Journal. Quote, it just seemed like something a little different from normal. Yeah, because it is different than normal, and we're experiencing something very strange. The things that were allowed and expected. After Jackson left the company, problems persisted at Ventavia, this employee said. So it went on after that. Shocking, I know, because there was no accountability. So why wouldn't it continue? In several cases, Ventavia lacked enough employees to even swab all trial participants who reported COVID-like symptoms. Is that before, after the injection? Who cares? How much you want to bet they leaned into not reporting side effects that look like COVID after the injection? Yeah, why would they do that? Why would they report something that challenged what they wanted to find? Quote, I don't think it was good, clean data, the employee said of the data generated after the Pfizer trial. Quote, it's a complete mess. A second employee who described an environment at Ventavia unlike any she had experienced in her 20 years doing research. She told the British Medical Journal that shortly after Ventavia fired Jackson for telling the truth, Pfizer was notified of problems at Ventavia with the vaccine trial, and then an audit took place. Right, so you fire the person who's trying to uncover this stuff, then you get told multiple times by more people, and then you do your own audit and probably quietly shove it under the rug, because guess what? Nothing happened. Since Jackson reported problems with Ventavia to the FDA in September 2020, Pfizer has hired Ventavia as a research subcontractor on four other vaccine trials: the COVID-19 vaccine in children and young adults, pregnant women, and the booster dose, as well as an RSV vaccine trial. Great. So the advisory committee on the Centers for the CDC and Prevention is set to discuss the COVID-19 pediatric vaccine trial today using Ventavia. Right. So this primary group that's completely covering up all the lies and deceit and crime, you know, they're going to keep using. Gee, I wonder why. I wonder why they keep leaning into this group that continually gets caught for doing the wrong thing. Probably because they keep covering up what they're doing, which is the wrong thing. That's probably because the whole point is to keep doing what they're doing. How much you want to bet this stays exactly the same for a really long time? Because they're not holding these people accountable. They used to some degree. The end of the day, guys, I don't know how people can't see this for what it is. The data is there for you. Now I'm going to have to take off. I know this was a short show for T-Lab, but I will be coming back. I'm 99% sure I'll be doing another show later in the day with more information, but I just had to get this out there. It's really important that we talk about this and that we understand at the very least that this is not some fringe anti-science commute, blah, blah, blah. These are educated, highly honest, in my opinion, people that, because I mean, look, if you're willing to come out and report this kind of data in the world they've created, then you are a brave person. I mean, I do it every day and I don't even consider it brave. It's because this is what I do, right? There's nothing that could take away from me other than trying to stop me from doing what I'm doing. But somebody like this, a doctor, a scientist who can lose their practice, their entire livelihood for standing by what they believe in. Those are some brave, they have constitution. Right? They're showing you their gumption today in a time when nobody seems to want to be able to stand up for things they believe in. So stand behind people like that. Stand behind the author of this article or people like Peter Doshi, the senior editor of the British Medical Journal, who has been calling this stuff out from the very beginning, and they just keep acting like it's not there. It's super important. So thank you for being here. Get this out there. I'll see you later today. I believe I'll be on Richie Allen's show in a couple of moments. So that's why I had to jump off, but keep fighting, guys. It's coming down around their ankles, and I think they know it. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.